If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you for being here tonight. You've encouraged my heart, and you've helped me already by just being here. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, I want to preach out of these first 10 verses tonight, and I titled it Tips on How to Meet My Wants. And so I know that many a times that we kind of grow spiritual and say, oh, we don't really thrive on wants, we just work on needs. And that's when we get real spiritual. But when we get just normal, we say we got a lot of wants. And so tonight, there's a few here that I want us to see, just some tips on how we can get our wants met, just to encourage you, to help you out some way here in this 2021. Here in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Proverbs, as we stand tonight, in honor of God's Word, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to the bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall the barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus this evening. Lord, we're again thankful for letting us read Your Word. God, to have a Bible in our hands before our eyes. Father, to be able to sing songs that praise the Lord and lift up Jesus. And God, to be around God's people tonight that You saved and redeemed. You filled them with Your Spirit tonight, God. We have a kindred spirit. Father, we're of the same body, have the same head tonight. We're of the same family with the same Father. Father, joint heirs and heirs of God tonight, Lord. Thank You for letting me be in Your family tonight. Thank You for letting me be in Your church. And we're praying tonight, God, that You'd have our eyes to be open and our hearts to be receptive. God, that we might hear some things, dear God, that may help us and that may satisfy us and bring contentment in our lives. Father, we know that's what You desire to do for us, and we pray tonight, God, would be that night. Save the lost. Touch those, dear God, that are backslidden, cold, indifferent. Father, far away tonight, bring them home. Father, bring revival to our hearts tonight through these passages and through this Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at the Scriptures, these 10 verses, you'll see that verse 1 is connected to verse 2. You'll see that verse 3 is connected to verse 4. You'll see that verse 6 is connected to verse 5 is connected to verse 6, and verse 7 is connected to verse 8, and verse 9 is connected to verse 10. You'll find they come in pairs. You'll see tonight, as they are in pairs, if you do one, you get the other. If you do another, you get the other. And so they come together tonight, and I'm going to preach it that way, because I believe that's the way that it is. And so we see that. So we have five thoughts here tonight concerning some wants. I see there in the Scriptures tonight, and I would think that everyone would have to say yes to these five questions. And here's the first question tonight that we would like to pose to you. Who wants to have a good quality life? Who wants to have a good quality life? I would think I would. That would be my choice. Yes, I'd like to have a good quality life. Number two, who would want to have a good relationship with man and God? I mean, I think everybody in this room would desire to have a good relationship with man and with God. So that's good. That's a want. Who tonight would want to have a path of success of life? A good path of success in life. I think everybody would want that as well. The fourth question I'd like to pose to you, who wants to have good health in this life? Who wants to be healthy? Who wants to live tonight with a health? That would be ultimate, it seems. I mean, we do a lot of things to stay healthy, get healthy, try to be healthy. And so if we can have a good health tonight, I think that would be something we'd want. Who wants to have good things in this life? All five questions tonight, I would think tonight that you'd have to say yes. If these wants are not yours tonight, I don't even know if you're human. I don't know tonight if you're human, and I don't think God is divine if these five things that we said that we wanted, who wants to have good quality of life, who wants to have a good relationship with man and God, who wants to have good success in life, who wants to have good health in life, who wants to have good things in life, every single person who's human tonight, and would be honest, they would say, I do. I want every one of those in my life. And so tonight, we think that many times that we're spiritual, we downplay many times our wants, and we lift up our needs. You know, we might say things like this, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And so I go around in my life not wanting. All I just base my life on is on needs. God will provide my needs. God will take care of my needs. I'm a person who won't have no wants, but that's not true. If you would kind of examine you tonight and examine you even tonight when you drive home, there might be somebody who just drives by and says, okay, we're going home. We say, hey, you know what? I think I need an ice cream from Dairy Queen. You're not going to say, I need an ice cream from Dairy Queen. You're going to say, I want an ice cream from Dairy Queen. And so today, whenever somebody asks you, what would you like to eat? I tell you what, I want to go home and eat. I want to go eat Mexican food. I want to go eat seafood, right? When you go to, as young people go to their parents, say, you know what, I want to go to the game tonight. You don't say, I need to go to the game. You say, I want to go to the game. I want some french fries with that hamburger. I mean, if you think about it tonight, our language and our life and activities all about wants. And so we are a wanting people. It's not that we need a many of things that we do and a many of things that we participate in or that we even eat or even wear. We have a lot of things that we want. And we get a lot of things we want. And so tonight we want to talk about how to get some of these wants tonight. Just tips on how to do that. So our life is really driven by wants and not needs. Is that true? So who wants to have a good quality of life? Who wants to have good relationships with man and God? Who wants to have good success in life? Who wants to have good health? Who wants to have good things? I would think all of us tonight would say, yes, that's what I want. God takes tonight our wants. If you say yes on all five of those, God takes our wants and He turns them into His needs. Now what a God that He would take some wants that we have and He would say, well, those wants are now my needs. And I need you to have these wants. I need you to have a quality of life. That's God. I want you to have a quality. I need you to have a good quality of life. I need that. God's saying that about us. God doesn't want you to live in an unquality life. I mean, He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to live in a life that's not quality. So, God is saying to us tonight, I need you to have a good relationship with man and God. I need you to have a good relationship with man and me. That might be one of your wants, but it's my need. He says, I need you to have good health in this life. Do you know God can do more with us in good health than bad health? Do you know that God can have more opportunities in our lives with good health than bad health? There's many a times in our youth, whenever we're full of energy, when we're full of vibrancy, we're full of thoughts and of inventions, and we have all kinds of energy, we have all kinds of things in our life, and yet we're not doing nothing with God, we're keeping God out of our lives, and then when we get old and we can't move, we can't talk, we can't do much of anything, arthritis has done captured us, our mind is leaving us, we can't hardly walk. We say, okay, God, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? God said, what can I do with that? And so, God wants you to have. His need is a good health. His need is that you have good things in life. I believe tonight God wants you to have good things in life. I would say tonight that you and I have experienced these wants to some extent. If I could go to your house tonight and if I could ride with you home tonight. If I could go with you throughout the week, I believe tonight that you have some good things. All of us tonight could say, I've got some good things. And so God tonight wants us to have those things. And what a great and glorious God we have tonight. What a Savior, what a King, what a Lord tonight that we serve that would want us to take these wants of ours and turn them into His needs. Number one. Verses 1 and 2 tonight, I see if we're going to have a good quality of life tonight, we're going to have to give God our heart. If you want a good quality life, you've got to give God your heart. We see that there in verse 1. It says, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My heart, it says. In verse 3, it says, Write them upon the table of thine heart. The Bible says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I would think tonight with just those scriptures there, it would bring us to a mind of heart. That you're going to have to give God your heart. If you want to live a good quality life, God has to own your heart. He has to be able to work from your heart. The Bible says in chapter 4 and there in verse 23, He tells us, says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So whatever issues of life we have, it comes from the heart. The heart is the very center. The heart is the very foundation of who you are and what you are tonight. And you got to give God your heart in order to have a good quality of life. We find in 1 Samuel, in chapter 16, if you'd like to turn there with me, here tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find a familiar passage that is always quoted and always used, and many, many people who preach tonight, they use this verse in many occasions. So let's read it tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and there in verse 7. The Bible says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outer appearance, but God, the Lord, looketh on the heart. And so God's not looking how pretty you are. God's not looking how built you are, how muscular you are. God's not looking at the figure you have. God's not looking at all of your physical appearance tonight, the beautiful hair, the beautiful face, and all that you have tonight. But God's looking at the heart. The heart is what you have to give. The heart. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's the pure in heart that shall see God. And that's the heart. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Turn to Matthew chapter 15 with me tonight and look there in about verse 18. Talking about our heart tonight. Chapter 15 of Matthew verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. There are the things which defile a man, but to eat of unwashed hands defileth not a man. It's the heart. It's the heart that we look upon. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Bible says, This people honoreth me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. And boy, I tell you tonight, it's all about heart. Amen. You have to give your God your heart tonight. Romans chapter 10. And there in about verse 8, we find the plan of salvation. Some call it the Romans road. And here tonight we see in chapter 10, I'll read it to you. And there in verse 8, it says, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You get saved with the heart. God looks upon the heart. The issues of life is in the heart. You defile yourself by the heart. God said, you can talk of me and worship me with your lips, but your heart can be far from me. Tonight, if you and I are going to live a quality life, you and I are going to have to give our heart to God. And if we give our heart to God, verse 2 is what He gives to us. Back in the Proverbs chapter 3. So if we do verse 1, He does verse 2. Verse 2 says to us, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's the quality of life. The quality of life, friend, is the length of days you live will be good days. He's not talking about giving you 400 years. He's not talking about giving you Methuselah time, 969 years. He's not talking about you living longer than anybody else and everybody else. He's talking about the length of days, whatever days you have. He said they're going to be good days. Amen. That's quality of life tonight. If you give your heart to God, He says, I'll just go ahead and give you some good days in the length of your days. He said that He'll give the length of days, you'll have full days. He said, long life. Full days. He said, your days will be full. Your days will be satisfying. Your days will be contentment. Your days, friend, will be where you can just live and live and live and let God have all, throw all your burdens upon Him, all your cares upon Him. You live a careless life if you give your heart to God. He says, I'll give you a good quality life. You don't have to worry about what the neighbor's thinking. You ain't got to worry about what the family's saying. You ain't got to worry about what the church is thinking. You don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds. You don't have to worry about what the past you've done. All is in the hands and by the heart God is looking upon, for you gave Him your heart. Well, you can't get no quality life than that. Give Him your heart, He gives you quality of life. What a deal. He said, I'll add years. Or the saying is, add years to your life and life to your years. I didn't make that up. I found it. I just quoted it with whoever quoted it. I just wrote it down. Add years to your life and life to your years. We only have so many days to live. Our Bible says that our days are numbered. And so say we've got 100 years to live. Tonight we are to put as many years within those years by giving our heart to God. He said, I'll just give you length of days. I'll give you long life. I'll give you peace. I give you harmony. I give you serenity. I'll give you all that, and then I'm going to add all this to you. In other words, I'm going to be so good to you, then I'm going to give you this too. Give me your heart. And so tonight, that's what the Bible teaches in verses 1 and 2. Give me your heart. Number 2, verses 3 and 4. God says, give me your will. Give me your will. Where you see that at, Will? He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's your will. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Nobody else in your life can forsake mercy and truth but you. And you're the only one that don't have to forsake it. So it's your will not to forsake it. Friend, nobody can teach you and tell you this tonight. You got to be according to your will that I won't forsake it. I will not let mercy forsake. I will not let mercy forsake me. There has to be a will for you. And God said, give me your will. And that is tonight, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, I will not let mercy forsake me. I will not do it. That's my will, because that's your will. The Bible says, let not thy mercy and truth forsake thee. So I say, Lord, I will not let mercy and truth forsake me. That's my will, because it's your will. I give it to you, Lord. And what does that mean, though? That word mercy there means kind. I will be kind. I will be loving. I will be good. That's what mercy means tonight. I will be that. If you give God your will, you'll be kind, loving, and good. Is there something wrong with that? I think tonight if our church can be loving and kind and good, and if our families can be loving and kind and good, and if just 10% of our community can be loving, kind, and good, and if 5% of our country could be loving and kind and good, it would be a better country and city and home and church. by not letting mercy forsake. Tonight we say, secondly, knowing what I meant, like, let not mercy forsake me. I will not let truth forsake me. That's the will of God. It has to be my will. In order for my will and His will to connect, I've got to give my will to Him. I will not let truth forsake me. I will be truthful. I will be trustworthy. I will be sure. That's what that word truth means. Let me say it one more time. I will be truthful. I will be trustworthy. And I will be sure. That's what it means tonight. Can you imagine our church being that away? Can you imagine you being that away in your home? Can you imagine being that away at work? Can you imagine being that away at Home Depot and Walmart and all the places you trade with? Can you believe tonight if just a few people in our country, in our city, in our county would be just of truth, trustworthy and truthful and sure, it would make a total difference. And tonight, do we really tonight want to have those, one of the five things that we desired to have tonight, and that is tonight to have a good relationship with man and God, then we can't forsake mercy. Because see, you being kind and loving and good will make a relationship well. You being truthful and trustworthy and sure will make a relationship good. I promise you tonight, people are looking for people who have mercy and who are truth. I mean, people are looking like for people to even marry tonight who have mercy and truth. People tonight are looking for people to work in their businesses, to be part of their organizations, to be part of their relationships, and to have fellowships and have corporations and have associations tonight with people that are truth and mercy. You can't hardly find nobody like that anymore. That are loving and kind and good and trustworthy and truthful and sure tonight. Where have they been? Where are they gone? Oh, but God said, if you would give me your will, I would make you have a good relationship with man and with God. So by giving God your will, He says you will acquire pleasant relationships with man and God. The Bible says it. So if you do verse 3, you get verse 4. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You say, man, everywhere I go, I get an argument. You have a problem with verse 3. You say, man, I can't get along at work. You have a problem in verse 3. You say, at church, man, it just seems like at friction. I seem like I'm this button head. At home with my wife, I'm this button head. It just seems like wherever I go, there's always trouble, always conflict, always argument, always anger. Something's wrong with you in verse 3. But when you give God your will, God in return gives you a pleasant relationship with man and God. You'll attain a precious relationship with man and God. That word favor there means precious. It means pleasant. That they're speaking there, you shall find. That word find means acquire or attain. You shall have profitable relationships with God and man. You say, I don't have many friends. You say, well, a lot of people say, I don't want any friends. There's something wrong with that. Verse 3. You say, well, you know, I just don't have many people. I don't have this. I don't have that. It just seems like things don't work out here and there and yonder tonight. The Bible's true. If you give God your will, He'll give you a good relationship and you'll attain favor with man and God. You can't help but having that. If you give God your will, if you forsake not mercy and truth tonight, God says, I'll give you this if you do that. I'm just trying to give you some tips tonight on how to get some wants. Do you want a good quality life? Give God your heart. If you want a good relationship with man and God, give Him your will. Number 3. I got 5. Verse 3. The Bible says, verses 5 and 6, give God your mind. Give God your mind. He says in verse 5, if you do verse 5, He'll give you verse 6. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. It's a mind. Give God your mind. You've got to make up your mind tonight that you're going to be all in. That's what trust means. You've got to make your mind up tonight. I'm all in with God. That's a mind thing. I'm trusting in God. It's not a word thing. It's a mind thing. And so tonight we got to come to the place, I'm just going to trust in the Lord. Okay, what does that mean? That means I'm all in. That means I am all in, but it means tonight that I will be all on. Not all in, but all on. Whatever God wants me, I'm on it. Wherever God wants me, I'm on it. However God wants me, I'm on it. I'm in. I'm on. It means to make up your mind to be all with. I'm with the church. I'm with God. I'm with His Word. I'm with Him tonight. I'm on His side. I'm on His for His sake. I'm with and in His name's sake tonight. I'm for His cause tonight. Hey, I am accompanying Him tonight. I am a follower of Jesus tonight. I trust in the Lord tonight. I'm all in and on and with. There's anybody tonight in this room that's trusting the Lord? It's going to be that one who says, I'm all in. I'm here. I'm here, Lord. And so we find tonight, with that being said, lean not unto thy own understanding tonight. That means don't be confident in you. Many times we are confident in us. God says, give me your mind. And while give me your mind, you'll lean not on your own understanding. Be not confident in you. That word, own understanding, means to be secure in you. Not rely upon you tonight. And tonight we see, as we look at the Scripture tonight, lean not unto thy own understanding. To have knowledge, to have discernment, to have intelligence tonight is what understanding means. And so all God is saying tonight is don't lean on your own knowledge. Don't lean tonight on your own discernment. Don't lean tonight on your own intellect tonight. You better lean not on yourself, but lean on the Lord. It's a mind thing tonight. It's a mind thing to trust in the Lord. It's a mind thing to lean not on your own understanding tonight. It's a mind thing to acknowledge Him in all your ways. It's a mind thing. To acknowledge Him tonight means to make a decision. It means to make a choice. It means to have a purpose tonight. I'm talking about have some things tonight that you want. And boy, don't you want to have a good living? Don't you tonight want to have a good relationship? Tonight, don't you want tonight to have, according to the Scripture tonight, to have a good success? As tonight we look at this, we find that we can have this success, or because tonight the Bible says in verse 6, if we do, verse 5, and portion of verse 6, he says in the last of verse 6, and He shall direct thy paths. Don't you want to have a good path? I mean, don't you want your life to land on good paths? Sure you do. How do I get there, Brother Larry? Trust in the Lord. Give Him your mind. Lean not on thy own understanding. Lean not on your own intellect and your own discernment and your own knowledge tonight. Lean not on that. Then acknowledge Him in all thy ways. And that means tonight, praise Him. When it talks about acknowledge Him in thy ways tonight, He's talking about praise Him on who you are. Every day of your life, acknowledge Him. There, verse 6, and in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And acknowledging Him is in the morning, you get up and you say, Lord, I praise You for who I am. Lord, I thank You for what I have. Lord, I honor You for where I'm at. Lord, I pray to You for everything. I include You in everything. I seek You in everything. I consider You in everything. I keep you before me in everything. I love Him more than anything and everything. That's making sure that your life, you're acknowledging Him in all your ways. He is, and He is, and He is. So he says tonight, if you give me your mind, he said, I'm just going to direct your path. Well, what a good success that is. That's while he's leading your path. So by giving your mind, he'll never, never lead you wrong. You ever gone wrong? It ain't because he led you that way. It's because you have leaned on your own understanding. You didn't give God your mind, because if you gave God your mind, you'll find that he never leads wrong. Never. You'll never be taken down. Not in his path. You'll never be left alone. Yeah, the road will get bumpy. Yeah, the way will get slippery. Yeah, the path will get rocky. But his direction is always right. His guidance is always correct. And his leadership is always straight. It's the smoothest path. It's the straightest path. It's the smartest path. Tonight is the path to success by you giving him your mind. Amen. God, help us tonight. Help us to have tonight these wants in our life. I want tonight to have a good quality life. Give God your heart. Lord, I want to have good relationships with man and God. Give them your will. God, I want to have good success. Give them your mind. You do, he does. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can I say fourthly tonight? Give God your flesh. If you want good health, you're going to have to give God your flesh. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's about the flesh tonight. It's about the body tonight. You're going to have to fight self. The Bible says, be not, there in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. That means tonight, you're just not always right. So don't be wise in your own eyes. You got to fight self. You don't always have to win every argument. You don't always have to be the champion of every fight. You don't always have to have the last word. You don't always have to be the loudest one. And you don't always have to be the one who leaves not crying. Tonight, we're going to have to come to a conclusion. If we're going to have a good health in our lives, we're going to have to fight ourselves. That we're not in the place where we're not always right. We don't have all the answers. There's some things we just don't know. So we got to look at ourselves different tonight. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Don't think you're all that. Don't think that you have God's given to your family, that you are above and beyond anyone and everyone, that you have your ducks in a row, that everybody else is a hot mess and you're not, and everybody else is crazy and everybody else is out there and everybody else has the problem tonight. But you don't have anything. You're just completely right and completely fulfilled and completely content tonight. God said, be not wise in your own eyes. That doesn't bring health. It does bring health though when you finally realize that I'm not all that and that I'm not always right and I don't have all the answers. We find tonight in the Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would like to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 1, the Bible says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. That kind of puts us in our place, don't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. That kind of puts us down a notch. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." The Bible teaches, "Now man not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." So tonight, we need to come to a place and we need to put ourselves in check. We've got to come to a place and say, "You know what, Lord? I am just what I am by the grace of God. That I don't have all the answers, and I'm not all that, and that I'm not always right, and I can't think more highly of myself. I can't be wise in my own eyes." God says, "I can bring health to you that way." Number two, not only to fight self, but to fear the Lord. Back in text of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Fear the Lord." What's that mean? That means that we're going to not fear man. So we're not going to fear men. That's not fearing the Lord. Fearing things, that's not fearing the Lord. Fearing thoughts, that's not fearing the Lord. And so, what does it mean to have the fear of the Lord? It means having a great, deep respect for the Lord. That's what that means. A great, deep respect for the Lord. That means that's what the fear of the Lord means. And so tonight, if we're going to find good health, we're going to have to experience fighting ourselves and then fearing the Lord. And that is just to have a good, solid, a deep respect for the Lord. Lord, this is your house. I will act appropriately. Lord, this is your temple. I will treat it honorably. Lord, I am your child. I will behave publicly. Not disgracing or dishonoring you. Lord, I have great, deep respect for you. For when I speak to you with praise and honor. Lord, that when I sin, I will confess it. Because I know that's an offense to you. Lord, I'll never take your Son's name in vain. I'll never live a life that brings reproach upon your church. I'll never take your Bible and disbelieve it. Lord, I never treat your children in a disrespectful way because I have great, deep respect for you. Does this make sense? This is how you get good health tonight. And we find that fearing the Lord is having a reverence for the Lord. A reverence for Him. For He's high and He's holy. When His name is mentioned, all feet stop and all ears are open. Whenever there's the preaching and the singing and He's being exalted and magnified, my full attention is upon Him and upon it. Great reverence. Reverence toward the law. Hey, it means tonight having a sobering awe for the Lord. I mean, I'm just in awe that He would live in me. I'm just in awe that I could be in His house tonight. I'm in awe that He would prepare a mansion for me. And if He goes to prepare a mansion for me, He said, "I'll come back and receive you. And there I'll be, you'll be also." Have an awe for Him. To bow down before Him. To surrender to Him. To be in His presence tonight and be what He asks me to be. Obedient. Surrender. Committed. Loyal. All and all. Talking about fear tonight. Having all because of His power. He created the world. Oh, He creates the storms. He's the one who made the trees. And He put the red on the rose. He put the milk in the cow. He's the one who put the meow in the cat. The bark in the dog. Oh, He's the one that took the lame to walk. And the blind to see. And the deaf to hear. And He raised them from the dead. And He cast out the demons. Amen. And He looked upon them, friend. And He said to the storm, He said, "Come. Be still." Power. Reverence. Awe. Of His holiness tonight. Of Him being perfect and holy. Of His loving kindness. Of being more merciful and so graceful to us. And so being loving kindness to us. And And when we fall, He so lovingly picks us up off the ground, and He lovingly just puts us in His arms, and He says, "My son, my daughter," He says, "I love you. I know you're just flesh." He said, "I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to just kind of take you, dust off your backside, and I'm going to establish your feet on some ground, and I'm going to give you some purpose and some reason. And yes, you're going to have to go through a little bit of a whipping here, but I tell you what, it's because I love you, and the Lord don't ever leave us nor forsake us, and He never sleeps and He never slumbers, and He's never far off and He's never away where we can't reach Him tonight. Oh, if we call on Him, He's there and nigh to us tonight. What a God that we have tonight, and we can be of reverence and we can be of respect and in awe to Him. Tonight we fear the Lord." He says, "I can bring good health to you. Oh, I fight self. I could give you some good health there." And then I see here tonight that forsake sin. The Bible says there in verse 7, depart from evil. That means tonight turn from sin. That means turn away sin. That means turn down sin. That means tonight, whenever somebody asks you to sin with them, you say, "No, I can't." That means tonight, when the TV comes on and the TV has sin, you turn it off. That means when the music comes on and the music has sin, you turn it off. That means when something comes before you as a woman or a man, or a dirty joke comes before your ears, you turn it off. Not tonight do you turn away sin, but you turn from sin. Sin must be something you depart, something you hate, something you despise, something tonight that turns your stomach, something tonight that creates a stir in your heart that I don't want to sin. I hate sin. Don't want to be part of sin. And anybody and everybody that wants me to be part of it, I don't want to be part of them. Sin, depart from it. Fear the Lord. Fight self. And tonight we find, so by giving God our flesh, by being what God asks us to do, and that's fear Him, and that is to forsake sin, and that is tonight that you and I would fight self. He said, "This is what I give to you," in verse 8. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Now all women in here would understand what navel would mean. I guess men would also, but women really. The umbilical cord that was cut, that was nourishing that baby that was within you, was through that navel. So it's a very important part of life. It is a very important part. Matter of fact, because of the navel, because of the umbilical cord that was feeding that baby became healthier. Right? If that umbilical cord would have been cut at 3 months, the baby would have starved or have something would have taken place. But it wasn't. So that umbilical cord is what's bringing all the nutrients and it's bringing all of the health to the baby, the life of the baby. The baby was getting from the mother through this umbilical cord called the navel. And so you find that there was within that woman, within that baby, it was depending upon and looking upon all of that resources that was taking that baby to be born and to grow. God said, "That's what happens whenever you give me your flesh. You find birth and you find growth. You find nourishment. The life is healthier. The life is livelier." So that baby that was kicking, that baby that was moving, is because of all that was being provided through the umbilical cord, the navel. God is comparing it tonight. That if you would fight yourself, be not wise in your own eyes, and you will fear the Lord, and you will forsake sin, in return, I will be a nourishment to you and your navel. "It shall be health to thy navel." Whew, my soul, Lord. A proper examination tonight of self will bring this health. A proper estimation of the Lord will bring this health. A proper extraction of sin will bring this health. It causes nourishment like the navel. But now we talk about the marrow to the bones. Many people in here may not understand that, but you take a bone, beside the bone would be some, I would say, I'm just going to use the word jelly, soft tissue of something of that nature, and that within that marrow is the strength of that bone. And so we take the marrow of that bone from time to time and we transplant it to something else or give it to something else, and that it becomes strong. Right? And so that marrow, that bone, every bone that you have has this marrow in it. And then the marrow in it is what strengthens it. It's what gives it power. It's what gives it its built. It's what gives its strength. And it gives it what it's going to do and how it's going to perform and how it's going to be is the marrow. You dry up the marrow, the bone would just break. Is that true? And so we find tonight the strengthening like the marrow of the bone. And so tonight, if you give God your flesh, He said, I'm going to give you good health. Thank you, Lord. And so tonight, if we think about for just a moment, if we give God our heart, He said He'll give us what? We already forgot. He'll give us a good quality life. Right? So tonight, if we give God our will, He'll give us what? He'll give us good relationships with man. If we give Him our mind, what will God say that He'll do for us? He'll give us good success by directing our paths. He says if we give Him our flesh, our body tonight, He said, I'll give you good health. Aren't these four things tonight what we want? Everyone in this room, we've already agreed well ago. You said it was a trick question, Brother Larry. You did well ago. You got us into this thing. You put out those five questions and you knew all of us was going to say, yeah, 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 five times. And now you throw this on us. You might be right. Can I say here fifthly now? God says in order for us to have these little tips of our wants. He says in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So God says, give me your increase. Give me your increase. Wow. I don't know if I like that or not. Well, if you want the good things of life, you're going to find that God's going to You got to give God your increase. And so the Bible says there in that verse, He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. So 100% of the substance that you have, the Bible says, honor the Lord with it. Now what does substance mean tonight? Substance means wealth. You look it up in the Hebrew, you'll find it means wealth. Whatever wealth you have, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. It also means riches. It also means enough. So tonight, what you have, you say, well, I just have enough. Well, then that substance that you got to honor the Lord with. Amen? And so we got to understand that. And so we see, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's wealth, riches, and enough. Then secondly, He says, in the verse, He says that, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So now He's not talking about honoring the Lord with your substance. He's now talking about giving the Lord your first fruits of that increase. Now what does first fruits mean? Well, first fruits means the first. The first. You ever heard of the firstling? You ever heard of that? The firstling? If you go to, don't turn there, but we don't have time tonight because of time here, but in Genesis, if you remember the story between Abel and Cain, and Abel was one who gave to the Lord. We gave him some livestock, right? He gave him a lamb, or he gave him something to offer with. Well, if you read it there in that chapter, you'll find that it says firstling. That Abel gave God the firstling. In other words, if you have 10 of the, 10 of these cattle, you're going to give them the first. Right? And so that's how this works. So it's the firstling. If you have fruit, the first fruits. If you are someplace or someone and you have the first of your, what you make, you give him first. That's what he's talking about here. So whatever wealth you have, whatever riches you have, whatever enough you have, that word increase there, it means income. It means gain. It means revenue. It means produce. The first of your produce, the first of your fruits, the first of your cattle, the first of your money. And God is saying to you and I tonight, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Now that means tonight you're going to give God the first. He's the first one that gets anything, anywhere. Of your money that you make, that you have, He gets first. He gets the best, He gets the cheapest, and He gets the principal. That's what the word first fruits mean, the principal. He gets the very cheapest of it all. Now, the word increase there, let me just explain that to you. An increase tonight is a wage, whether it's a full-time, part-time, or a side job, that you make money and you have increase into your income. God gets the first fruits of that. Amen? And then secondly, an increase would be if you sell a house, you sell a car, you sell a boat, you sell woods, you sell coins, you sell guns, you sell whatever, and you got increase. God gets the first fruits of that. If you have an increase in taxes and stimulus and refunds, God gets the first fruits of the increase. Amen, brother! I'm excited about that! I'm getting $600 from the government. I can't wait to pay my $60. I'm about to sell something, man. I'm going to give the Lord the first fruits. I can't wait. An increase tonight is in getting an inheritance or investment tonight, and it's an increase. Amen. I mean, I thought y'all would be excited about this last point. Increase. If you make any money, if you increase your wealth, if you increase your riches, if you have revenue or gain or anything and everything tonight, the Lord says, honor Him with thy substance. And the next word it says there is about the first fruits. Give Him the first fruits of thy increase. That's what He said. Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. And here in the next few weeks, I'm going to preach on tithing. But I'm going to preach on why tithe. Because there's a lot of controversy in the hearts of people. And we're just going to clear that up. The Bible says, look at Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, or is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord." So right now we know that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And so we find tonight, look, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14. Before the law, Abraham gave the first fruits unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 14, and look there in verse 20. Genesis 14 and verse 20. I know it's a well-known story, but it's real true. There in verse 20, the Bible says, this is Abraham, "And blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thy hand. He gave him tithes." Tithes and first fruits. Tithes and first fruits. He gave him tithes of all. That was before the law. So you who think that the tithe is only because of the law or wrong. This is before the law. Back in Abel and Cain's day was way before the law, and he gave the firstling. So God had this concept, this principle, this truth way before the law. Turn your Bibles tonight to Genesis 28 and verse 22. Jacob. The Bible says, "And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So now we know that tithe means 10%, and now we see here the tenth. So God puts a number on what you should give on your increase in the firstlings, the first fruits, 10%. That was before the law. I could just say tonight that tithing is a God thing. All right, let's go on and talk about at the law. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. When the law was given, what was said then? Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out all your tribes to put His name there, even unto the habitation shall you seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithe, your tenth, and heave offerings of your land, of your hand, and your vows, and your free offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Very clear. Then he goes ahead, and there shall you eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. So it's God, what you're saying is, God, you've increased me. I have gained because of you, and now I'm going to give you back 10% of that gain. So after the law. So if the requirement of the law was 10%, that was the base, that was the minimum, that was the start. And then we're going to have to know the response is to what God did for us. What God did for us in the way of our salvation, what God did for us in the way of finding us, what God did for us in the way when we are lost, undone, without God, and He came to us and convicted us of our sin. He drew us unto Himself. We saw Jesus as who He was. He revealed to us who we were. We confessed of that sin, that we were sinners, and we received Christ as Savior and Lord, and we were saved by the glory of God, by the grace of God. I would think this morning that 10% wouldn't be enough. Although it's a base. See, Moses came with the law, but Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. Now, stick with me now. And now, so I see a response, but I see a reaction, what Jesus did to me. But then I see the reciprocal of that. The Bible talks about the love requires it that you give to God. In other words, tonight, when God loved us, He gave His only begotten Son, the first fruit. Is that true? Yeah, He did. He gave us the chiefest. He gave us the best. So love requires it, God, but the debt requires it. Jesus gave Himself. That was the debt. And then the support requires it. That's the church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 2. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store as God hath prospered him. Same terminology, as God has increased you. As God has brought you, gave you substance. God has brought wealth to you. God has brought animals to you. God has brought fruit to you. God has brought land to you. He's prospered you. What am I going to do with that prosperity? What am I going to do with that 10%? What am I going to do with that tithe? What am I going to do with that? Because of what God did for me and what Jesus did for me, it's no longer a requirement. It's been moved into a response. But I don't give any longer because the law requires me, because Moses brought the law, but now I'm under grace and under truth, and because of the truth of the law, and because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give at least a minimum of a 10% of all that I've prospered with. See the difference? Even though the tithe was before the law, and the tithe was at the law, the tithe after the law is by grace and not by requirement. We find 2 Corinthians, if you turn there, chapter 9. And look in verse 7. Knowing what hath prospered us, we bring it to the house of God on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16 said. Chapter 9, verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So whenever we get saved by grace and truth is implanted in us, because the Spirit of truth now indwells in us, we see the whole picture. And when we see the whole picture, we say, Lord, I'm not going to do less than 10%. All that You've done for me, I'm going to give You all my increase. All that I have has come from You. It's based upon grace now, not because of the law. Purpose in my heart. He goes on and says, not grudgingly or necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. So by giving your increase, what does God in return give to you? Look back into our text, chapter 3, verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what I see with that? I see you'll never run out. You'll never run out. If you give God His because of your grace, because God's love that's in you, God promises you right here, you'll never run out. I'll tell you something else that it says when it talks about that your barn shall be filled with plenty. It means tonight you'll never do without. You'll never do without. You say, I don't believe it, Brother Larry. Test God. You give them of your increase. You give them tithe of everything you sell, everything you make, everything you get. Go ahead and try it. I promise you, God will bring it where you never run out. You'll never do without, and you'll never be out. You'll never be out. But let me give you a New Testament verse to kind of wrap this up. Luke 6. Luke 6. There might be some out there who's saying, well, I don't believe all that. Well, let me just give you a New Testament verse. So in verse 38, give. Well, that would cover verse 9, right? Honor the Lord with all thy substance. Give the first fruits of thine increase. Give. It covers it, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 covers that one word, give. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10 covers the rest. It says, it shall be given unto you. Now you're equal. Whatever you gave God, you're now equal with God. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Never run out. Never do without. Never be out. Shall man give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's a New Testament scripture there. Amen? And so we go to the Old Testament. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. That's a book right before the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring. Well, that's just like verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Give unto Him all the increase of thy first fruits of thy increase. Bring your tithes. Is that what it says? Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. That's the house of God. That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And look at this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall be no room enough to receive it. You'll never run out. You'll never do without. You'll never be out. How many more verses do we have to read tonight? If this is true or not. Why would anybody rob God? There in that verse 8, he said, will a man rob God? Good question, God. Why would a man rob God if God says, that I'll give you 90% of every single thing that you make, that you have, of all your life and entire your life. And I will give you back that 10%, and I'll give you more than you ever had before, running over, pressed down, shaken together. I open the windows of heaven and pour out that you'll have a barn to have plenty, and the room will run out. I'll give you so much you can't take it in. Don't you want to have good things in this life? Give God your increase. Amen. By giving your increase tonight, you can enjoy the good things of life. I just tried to give you some tips tonight on how to meet my wants. And so there was five of them. I pray tonight that all five will be met God's way. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Love you, church. May the Lord bless you. I want a good quality life. I want to have good relationships with man and God. I want to have good success in life. I do. I want to have good health. I want to have good things in life. God gave us the answer tonight on how to have all of that. It's up to us now. Will you give God your heart? Will you give God your will? Will you give God your mind? Will you give God your flesh? And will you give God your increase? If so, your wants will be His needs. God, He needs to do all these things for you. That's what God wants tonight. You've seen, Brother George, if you need to come pray tonight and ask God just to help you, come on. If you just need to do some business with the Lord tonight, let's just do business. Let's take a few moments and come to the throne room of grace and say, God, I got some wants. And I ask you to help me. Help me to reach those things by doing what you asked me to do. I'll be willing to give. You give first, God gives later, but God gives more. You'll never outgive God. You all in tonight? Don't forsake mercy and truth tonight. Remember to fight yourself, to fear the Lord, and to forsake sin. Remember. God help us tonight. Yes, amen. Brother Keith, won't you dismiss us tonight?